Like, what is this wet stuff falling from the sky? I've never seen it before. We drive that way. Well, this morning I get to the privilege of sharing the word with you. If you have a Bible, I'm going to have you pull out your Bibles. You can pull out that note sheet as well. And today I want to talk about new beginnings. I want to talk about fresh beginnings. And this day being Palm Sunday, as we lead into, as Rebecca so eloquently shared, this is our week. This is the week that we celebrate. Our King has come into town, and we get to celebrate before Good Friday and Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection. And I believe that this morning we're going to look at the story of Jesus, a story from his earthly ministry that I believe is a prophetic reminder for some of us. Now, some of you, your antennas just went up when I said that, but I believe this is a reminder for us. This is something that God wants to speak to us as a people. And today my message is titled simply, Dream Again. And that's exactly what I believe God is calling some of us to do, to begin dreaming again. Now, these two words, dream again, were words that were breathed into my soul by one of my mentors and great friends, James Ranger. And the words dream again really are an invitation for us to believe again. The word dream again is an invitation to imagine God's unlimited and infinite power overcoming every obstacle and every single limitation that we face. And this morning, I'm praying for you as a church. I've been praying for you all week long, as I really believe this is a word for some of you. I'm praying that God would allow you to begin dreaming again. Perhaps there's a dream that's died in your life. Maybe there's something that you've just stopped imagining that God can do something in your season or in your life. And my prayer for you today is that today would be a restarting point. Today would be a holy moment in your life that you'd mark down and say, that was the day that God began to allow me to dream again about what could be. Today would be a date that you'd say, this was the day that God restarted my faith. He kickstarted it afresh. That's my prayer for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for you. In fact, I want to pray a prayer of blessing before we even dig into the word that God would speak to us. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This morning, as we open up your word, which is living and active, God, we invite you to speak to us a word that will change our lives forever. Lord, I pray that you do heart surgery in our lives today. If there's areas where we need a new measure of faith, God, would you fill us afresh with a new measure of faith? If there's an area where you just want to revive us, where we've allowed to die, God, I pray that you do that in our hearts today. And Lord, if there's new dreams, new purpose that you have for our lives, I pray that you'd reveal that to us. You'd begin revealing that today in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I had a really rare opportunity. It was an opportunity to leave our five children and go out on a date. It was really cool. But it was amazing. It was like, we got in the car and we're like, there's no screaming. No one's pushing each other. It was cool. We had to turn up the radio because it was too awkward for us. But we went to see a movie, kind of a feel-good movie. Maybe you've seen it. It's a movie about P.T. Barnum and Bailey Circus called The Greatest Showman. And great, fun story. If you like musicals, it's cool. But I don't know how much of it's real and how much of it is, again, it's the show, right? It's all about the greatest show on earth. But I remember as I watched that, I was brought back to my childhood going to the circus, you know, when I was, to use my southern expression, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, right? And I went to the circus, and I just always was just amazed to see these trapeze artists and they're flying around and jumping and see these guys juggling, you know, flaming whatever they were throwing around. I don't know what they were throwing around, but to see all these things was just amazing. But for me as a kid, it was always about the animals, right? To see these giant elephants and man, these things are just huge. And when you're a kid, they're even bigger, right? I mean, the elephants are amazing. It always captivated me that they could be trained to do anything, right? Because they're so big. They're ginormous animals. And in fact, I've got a photo of one. There's an elephant, a beautiful, majestic creature. And the African elephant is a huge beast. I mean, it's 10 to 12 foot tall. There's a reason that armies rode these things. And they weigh 20 to 24,000 pounds. Some of you feel like you're a little, you know, you could lose a little weight. These guys are pretty heavy, right? 24,000 pounds. Pretty spectacular creature. But traveling zoos and circuses have long learned this thing. It's where we get the expression that an elephant never forgets. And the idea is this, that when these elephants are small, their trainers will tie a chain around their ankle and tie them with a really heavy-duty spike so that they can't move. And when they're young, they're trained this way. So, you know, as little creatures do, they want to wander and kind of explore, and they start pulling on that thing, and they realize, ow, it hurts when I pull on it, and they cut themselves, and they hurt themselves, and they realize, I don't want to do that again. So as they grow larger and larger and larger, those spikes and those chains don't get any larger and larger and larger to maintain the size, but those elephants have learned a lesson. They've learned that I pulled on it once, I might have even pulled on it twice, and it hurt, so I'm not going to do it again. And in that, they stop trying. And so they get bigger and bigger, and they could pull those chains out, but they stop trying on those. And this morning, I would submit to you that sometimes we too stop trying. We stop trusting. We stop pressing into the things of God. Maybe we've tried before and failed. Maybe we've had a bad experience. But I believe that the God of heaven would speak a fresh reminder to us that perhaps in your life, it's time to start dreaming again. It's time to start stretching out our borders, to stretching out what he is able to do. See, the same God that performed miracles in the past, the same God that when we look at our praise reports as a church, by the way, I love reading those. I love seeing how God answers our prayers. And when we see God break through things and heal the sick and do all sorts of awesome things in our lives, it's a great testimony for us. It's a great reminder that the same God who did those miracles wants to do something like that in my life. That his power is available for me, that just as the scripture over my head says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. That same miracle-working power is there. And today is the day. Today's the day. It is the day that I believe God wants to revive that faith in some of our lives. Perhaps God wants to do something new in your life. And if you're taking notes this morning, my first idea is this. This is the big idea, is this, that the favor of God changes everything. We can do the same thing with God that we did without him and see completely different results. So with that in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 5. As you know, we're going through the book of Luke. Today we find ourselves in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it says this, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, on Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, another name for it. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down on the boat and he taught the people from the boat. So I want you just to imagine there for a second. I want to pause for a second. Imagine Jesus is by this beautiful and serene lake. All right, many of you have been to lakes, you've seen the beauty of them, and they're standing there and all these people are just crushing in, trying to hear what Jesus is saying. And imagine there's everyone standing and just kind of trying to crane their necks to hear what Jesus is saying, and Jesus comes to this realization, people aren't going to be able to hear me. And so he goes down to the very edge of the water, he finds a boat, and he asks the owner of the boat to put him out just a few feet from the water so he can use that water as a natural amplifier so that people can hear what he's trying to say. Just imagine this scene that Simon and his other brothers and other fishermen that were on the boat are just sitting there because they obviously said yes. And Jesus goes out on this boat a little bit and there are all the men of the boat listening as Jesus teaches this great crowd of people and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And that's when it happens. As Simon allows Jesus on his boat to begin this process, that's when Simon and the other fishermen get to experience a miracle. Jesus invites them literally to dream again, to stop imagining what could have been or what happened in the past and to start imagining what could happen with God on the boat with them. He's inviting them to trust in the miracle working power. He's inviting them again to dream again. The story continues in verse 4. And it says, when Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, he said these words, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, he said, Master, we toiled all night, and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, so many that their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats with so much that they began to sink. I mean, imagine this. Imagine this, that Jesus gets in the boat and all of a sudden circumstances seem to change. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a professional fisherman. You got any really good fishermen in the room? Anyone want to show their hands? Nope, no good fishermen. Cool, then we're together. See, I go fishing and I put my pole in the water and I catch a leaf or I catch a stick or I catch my shirt or I catch the boat or whatever. I'd never catch a fish, but I'm not a professional fisherman, but perhaps you're good at something. Maybe there's an area of your life that you're an expert, right? Something that you're really good at. Maybe for some of you, it might be your profession. Right? You're really good. If you're a teacher, man, you know how to teach, you know how to grade, you know how to communicate to parents and do that like an expert, right? For others of you, maybe you're a bookkeeper or tax preparer. Man, you can work those forms like a ninja, right? You know how to handle it. You have it figured out because you've done it for a long time. You're an expert. For some of you, maybe it's your hobby. You're really good at your hobby because you practice it like golf, right, George? I mean, just whoosh, go out there and just kill it, right? George is our expert golfer, and you know, maybe you've got a hobby that you're really good at. Now, I want you to imagine in that area that you say, man, I'm an expert. I'm really good at this. I've got it kind of figured out. I don't know everything, but I know more than most about this thing. I want you to imagine that Jesus comes up to you. He steps into your circle of influence, the area that you're really good at, and he says, hey, I want you to try something different. I want you to try something for me. And Jesus comes to you, and he tells you something that you just know, you just really know, is not the right way to do things. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, I know that this is not the way you normally do it, but try it this way. You normally go zig, I want you to zag, right? And you're like, Jesus, are you sure? Right? Because that's what these fishermen were thinking to themselves. They're thinking, Jesus, man, I learned long ago that we don't go fishing in the daytime. Because any good fisherman knows, not me obviously, because I don't catch them, but early in the morning and right before the sun goes down, that's when the fish are hungry, that's when they're biting, that's when you're going to catch some fish. And they might have said to themselves, Jesus, didn't you go to fisherman school, dude? Don't you know that that's not when you're supposed to go dragging for fish? Because you're not going to catch any with your nets at that time of day, right? Or perhaps they learned from a life lesson. They'd say, Jesus, I hear what you're saying, but I tried that before and it didn't work. You ever say that to Jesus? Jesus, I tried that before, and it didn't work then, so I'm not going to try it again, right? Jesus, I've done that before. We used to do it that way, right? We say that one a lot in church, by the way. I'll just put that out there for you. We used to do it that way, or we tried that before, and it didn't work, so God couldn't possibly do it that way, right? Come on now, come on. I'm not talking to myself. You know what I'm saying. But what we're really saying is this. We're really saying, Jesus, I cannot believe that you can change my circumstance, that you can get me different results from doing the same thing. I cannot believe that your power added to my abilities or my effort can do something beyond, that this circumstance perhaps is different from that circumstance. And so when we hear the nudge of God, when we hear the prodding and the pleading of God for us to take a step of faith, for us to step out, for us to cast down our nets, so to speak, instead of saying yes, we say, I'm not so sure about this plan, Jesus. I tried it before and it didn't work out. And there are moments that I would submit to you, we need to keep dreaming. Times where God wants us to move on to another dream. That we need to open ourselves to the possibility that God wants to do something beyond us. And some of us, man, we've been holding on to the wrong dream for too long. We've been waiting for God to do something in our life, some area. And if I could say this gently, I believe sometimes God is whispering to us and he's saying, that dream that you're clinging on to, that's not my dream. I've got another dream right over here for you. I've got another purpose. I've got another call for your life. And there's times where it's time for us to say, Jesus, what is your dream for me? What is it that you want this season of my life to look like? Sometimes God tells us, man, it's time to try again. Maybe you tried that dream before. Maybe you're called to that, but it wasn't the right time when you tried it. You tried and you failed, but now it's time to try again. And I believe there's seasons of life where we need to ask God, Lord, is that what you have for me? Because here's the deal. Sometimes God tells us it's time to try again, but we don't want to try again. Why? Because we don't want to make the same mistake twice, right? I mean, this is something that's ingrained to us from our childhood, right? That we can make mistakes, but to make the same mistake twice, well, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? That's something we don't want to do. In fact, I try and instill that into my children's life. I understand, man, they're going to make a mistake. They're going to make mistakes. Now, as their dad, I don't want them to, right? I don't want them to fall off the slide to learn that, hey, it's dumb to stand on the slide, right? I don't want them to fall off the monkey bars and hurt themselves to learn that it's not okay to do that. But I understand as a father that my kids are going to make mistakes. But one of the things I hope is that when they make a mistake and they feel that pain or they feel that consequence, that they're going to learn, right? They're going to learn and not, hey, maybe I shouldn't swing off the monkey bars like that, right? Upside down, hanging off one leg, I'm going to fall. I shouldn't hose down the slide and try and walk down it, right? It's happened. By the way, those of you who have got little kids, and after this rain, I don't know what it is, but my kids made a puddle of mud and they just look like pigs in the slop. It was amazing. It was really fun until we had to hose them down. And they learn, hey, I shouldn't get that muddy because I don't like getting hosed. I digress. My neighbors heard the screams for miles. But it's a good thing to learn from our mistakes, isn't it? But here's the deal. If we're not careful, then what we can do is begin to use those past experiences to shape our level of faith. To say, I tried something like this before, Jesus. I put my nets in the water and I took nothing. So I'm not going to try it again. I don't want to get burned twice, right? And we can't possibly do that, God. That can't possibly work in my life, Lord. And even without noticing, sometimes if we're not careful, we can short-circuit the purposes and the plans of God for our lives. We can miss out on what he has for us. We'd say, Jesus, it never works that way. I tried it, and it didn't work. I tried it, and I didn't like it. I'm not going to do it again, right? But what I love about Simon Peter is that he acknowledges that reality, because we all face that. We all understand that. Man, I tried that. It didn't work. I followed that dream, and it didn't come to fruition. I held on to that promise, and I feel like, man, I'm still waiting for that to come to pass. But I love Simon is that he acknowledges that, yes, they already tried it. It didn't work. But then he says these words, verse 5. He says, but at your word. In fact, say those words with me. But at your word. He says, but at your word, I'm going to try again. I'm going to let down my nets again. I'm going to do something that I know doesn't work at a time that I for sure know isn't going to work. I'm going to try it again, even though I toiled all night, even though I tried out. I'm going to step out in faith because I trust that you're the one who's told me to do this, so you're going to have something special for it. That it's not going to be the same as what it was before. See, we have to allow God to have veto power over our plans. You say that about a president or a governor, that, man, they can have a bill all ready and signed and they can say, nope, veto. And I submit to you that we need to allow God that same place in our lives. We say, God, I've done my research. I found out that the fish don't normally bite at noon, that historically the trend is not there, right? I've done research. I have experience. I heard from that guy over there. He tried it every day and it never works. I've learned all these things, but I'm going to submit it to you. And at your word, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to analyze. I'm going to look. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm going to give you veto power. At your word, God, I'm going to go a different direction than what I had planned. God, but at your word, I'm going to set aside my past experiences and not allow them to loom larger than your purpose and your calling for my life. But at your word, God, I'm going to follow you where you lead me, even if it doesn't make sense. But at your word, God, I'll say yes. But at your word. Those are powerful words. Rebecca and I have had several occasions in our life where we've had those kind of veto moments where we said, Lord, here's what we feel like we're called to do. Here's where we're going to take a step of faith. But at your word, we'll go this way instead. But at your word, we'll do it. And there's been many. I was trying to think about what I wanted to share. Right after Bible college, my wife and I were working full-time jobs and really just trying to make ends meet so we could serve in ministry. And we gave ourselves to the ministry as volunteers. But we were working pretty hard jobs, and the problem became this. I kept getting promoted. I started here, and then I got promoted, then I got promoted, then I got promoted. And finally, we got to a place where there was a promotion that was offered to me. And I knew that, man, it was going to be more money. It was also going to be more time. It was going to pull me away from my purpose of what God had called me to do. And it was a really great promotion opportunity. At the same time, there became another opportunity where I could go from making a lot more money to making peanuts over here working for a nonprofit organization. But I was going to be working with youth in the city that I felt called to. And so I was pulled, I was torn, right? Because I've got to provide for my family, I've got to take care of those needs. And so, man, it's like, do I take a step up or do I take a leap off a cliff and go down here? God, what should I do? And of course, my wife, being more in tune with the Lord than I am, she knew right away what we were supposed to do, but she said, you should pray about it. And so I just said, Lord, I feel like this is it. You've opened this door. It's really great. It's going to be more money, and I'm going to have more responsibility. It's going to be awesome. I don't know why I started talking so high. But God, at your word, I'll go this way too. Right? You ever pray one of those prayers? God, at your word, right? You're going to have my hand behind him. At your word, I'll go this way instead. Well, you can guess which way the Lord said to go. And it was an amazing thing as I stepped out in faith and I said, hey, you know what? I know you're offering me this promotion, but in fact, I'm actually going to have to give you my 2-week notice. I'm going to have to leave. I give him more than that. And I went and took that thing. And at first, it was like, this is crazy. On paper, it makes no sense to go from here to here, right? I was like an elephant. I get paid in peanuts over here. But the Lord provided for us miraculously. In fact, no sooner than about a month after I'd taken that step of faith and started working this job and got my first paycheck, that I got this notice in the mail that my former employer had actually given me stock options that were fully vested. And in fact, when I totaled them up, it equaled about 6 or 7 months worth of pay that I would have missed out on by taking this step of faith. It was one of those not so subtle reminders that the Lord has got it under control. I'll just tell you something. I never would have experienced the miracle had I not stepped out in faith. God knew all along that that was coming. And I just have to say that God has given us minds. He's given us logic. And they're great things that we can think through problems and analyze. Maybe you're like me. I like to analyze problems. I like to think, well, this could happen and then that could happen. And I like to think through the problems because that's just the way my mind is wired. And though God has given us those tools, and it's important for us to take good godly counsel from others to hear what, man, what could happen, what should happen, what will happen. Those things go, we want to make sure that our reasoning and our logic don't hinder us. They don't short circuit what God wants to do. They don't want us to look at, we don't get to the place where we say, well, that's an impossible outcome, God. And never trust that he's in control. And so instead we say, that's impossible, so I won't even try. And it would have been easier for Simon to say that, right? Jesus, we tried. We know it's not going to work, so we're not even going to try. I'll go drop you off at the shore respectfully. But had he done that, he would have missed out on the promise and the miracle of God. And here's the deal. With God, all things are possible, even the impossible things. Amen? See, Simon agrees to do something on face value that seems foolish. I'd imagine the other fishing boats are like, what are you doing, dude? You're taking your nets down, they're supposed to be drying, and you're going to go fish again in the middle of the day? And let me ask you, it was a foolish thing. Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus? Are you willing to take a step of faith that says, man, I don't think that makes sense on paper, but God, I trust you instead. I trust you no matter what. Will you trust God even when things seem impossible? Even when it feels like it's not possible for a breakthrough? See, here's the deal. I can try the same thing 98, 99, 100 times, right? I can try the same thing, casting my net out. God, I don't see any fish. Casting my net out, I don't see any fish. But it's that 101st time that I try it with Jesus in the boat. That's where the miracle happens. That's where the breakthrough takes place. When not just when Jesus is in the boat, but when Jesus is in the boat and he tells me to throw my net. He says, go over there and throw your net down. That's when the miracle breaks through. That's when I see those things. Because God's presence and favor changes everything. It just does. When we'll go with the presence and the favor of God and he invites us to experience these things in our lives, man, when we go with God, it changes everything. And these fishermen, man, they tried it their way, right? They had all the fisherman tricks, right? They knew all the ways that you're supposed to catch fish. They were experts. And they tried everything in their own power to do this thing without Jesus. But they failed. They failed. And I would imagine as a fisherman to come home after working all night long in the darkness, trying to catch fish, getting up early. Fishermen wake up early. That's why I can't get behind that, right? I want something that happens in the middle of the day. But that's an aside. They wake up early. They're out there all night slaving and just pulling nets and doing all this manual labor. And then they come home empty-handed. I imagine they were kind of defeated. They probably felt like, "Er." And here's the thing. You and me, we're going to strike out, to use a baseball metaphor. We're going to get up to that plate, and we're going to swing, and we're going to miss. And we're going to swing, and we're going to miss. And we're going to swing, and we're going to miss. And it's in those moments that we're tempted to give up. We're tempted to throw in the towel. But here's the deal. God's presence and favor changes everything. See, these men, they had tried the night before and failed. And perhaps that's your story. You've tried. You tried doing something some way. And the invitation is that you've got to invite Jesus into your boat and say, Jesus, where do you think I should fish? Where do you think I should throw my nets? Because it changes when Jesus is in the boat. We've got to invite him into our boat. Jesus just invited himself into Simon Peter's boat. Did you notice that, by the way? I love that. But Simon says, okay. He has to give him a okay to get in his boat. And we got to invite Jesus into our boat. Invite Jesus into the boat of our marriage. Say, Jesus, I need your help in this area of my marriage that we're struggling. We got to invite Jesus into the boat of our business, those things that we're doing for money. God, how would you have me handle this situation or that situation? We've got to invite Jesus into the boat of our family and our parenting. Even Jesus into our hobbies. To say, Jesus, how should I spend my calendar? How should I spend the days that you've given me? Should I do this or that? We've got to invite him. See, when we risk it for God, when we step out in faith for God, that sounds better for us. We don't like the word risk. But when we'll risk it for God, we get to see his power. And that's exactly what happens. It says, verse 6, when they had done what Jesus said, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Here's the deal, my friends. We've got to take risks to see God's power. We've got to take risks to see his power. Big miracles follow big faith. And when I will put my trust in God, when I will say, Jesus, I trust your word above my experience or above my failures or above any of my other circumstances, that's when we're able to see the power of God show up. See, trusting that the God of the promise is bigger than the sum of our experiences. It's in those moments that we set out into the deep. And we have to set out into the deep. See, they could have just said, whatever, Jesus, we'll try it. We're just going to throw down our nets here. Yeah, look, it didn't work. But what did they have to do? They had to go set out into the deep, go to the place that Jesus had called them to go and wait for him to tell them what to do. And as they did it, that's when they saw the miracle. Now, risk is a word that we're adverse to, aren't we? How many of you love the word risk? Love just taking risks, unnecessary risks, right? Just jumping on your skydivers and your bungee jumpers. We don't want to take unnecessary risks, right? Because we've learned that there's something that it could cost you. It could cost you a failure. You could mess up and mess something up. You could injure yourself or something even worse. We don't like the idea of risk, but I would submit to you that godly risk is the only way we get to experience the power of God in our lives. When we will take God's word and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And these men did just that. They said, Jesus, we tried it and it didn't work, but at your word, I'm going to set out into the deep and I'm going to set down my nets exactly where you've told me, exactly how you've said it. I'm going to try again. I'm going to dream again, even though I've done it before. Even though I'm tired, even though maybe I'm a little bit grumpy because I didn't see the results I wanted, God, I'm going to trust you. Even when I'm grumpy, even when I don't know that I can believe it, I trust you. See, the favor of God changes everything, and we can do the same thing without God that we do with God and see completely different results. My prayer for you today is that you would be a people, you'd be men and women that would set out into the deep. That at the word of Jesus, you'd say, God, I've tried it before and failed. I've got pain in my past from doing it that way. I'm not sure it's going to work out, but God, at your word, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to begin dreaming again. Those dreams that I've allowed to become dormant in my life that you've called me to. Or perhaps those areas where we're like, man, God, I've been struggling and I tried so hard all night and I didn't catch anything, so I don't even know that I can believe that you can do it. But at your word, I'm going to do it. And that's my prayer today, is that you would begin dreaming again. My prayer today is that you would begin saying, God, I don't know about what's happened in my past, but I want to trust you for my future. I want to trust you in my present. It's hard for me to trust because I just spent a night struggling and laboring, and maybe you're in the season of night right now. It still feels like darkness is all around, but God says, it's a new day. It's a new day, and I want to begin to allow you to dream again. Though you've tried and failed, though it hurts, though, man, you're stinky and sweaty and overworked and tired from what you've tried before, Jesus says, I'm in the boat. For some of you, that means God wants to come in your boat. You got to invite Jesus on your boat. For others of you, God is saying, man, I want you to trust me. I want you to set out into those deep places and lay down your nets so that I can do something in your life that you never would have imagined, so that I can do things in your life and through your life that you never would have expected, that people around would never have seen coming, because that's what God wants to do. So that's my prayer for you this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord's voice this morning?
Discouragement is not from God. If you are discouraged this morning, you need to know that it's not from God. He is the God of courage. He is the God that is standing right next to you and saying, I am with you. Be encouraged. Be strong and courageous. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are here this morning, Father God. I know that your people need you because I need you, Father God. And I also know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father God, and you want to dwell with us, in us. You want to walk with us in every single facet of our lives this morning. Father God, you want to go to work with us. You want to parent with us. You want to be in the middle of our marriage, Father God. You want to be in our households, Lord. And Father God, your people this morning are praying and asking that you would enter into any facet of our lives that you are not already in, Lord God. We invite you into the boat. Lord, we hand over the boat. Father God, you take over the boat. You just tell us where to go and we will go, Father God. Your people want to surrender their lives completely to you, Father. And this morning, Lord, as Pastor Brian has prepared this word for us, Lord, and I know it's from you, Lord. Father God, we ask for encouragement this morning. We ask for the ability to hope and the ability to dream and the ability to think that, Lord, that, and know that you can do all things, then you can do them through us, Father God. Use these hands and use these feet. Lord, break down any barriers that are in our lives. Break down any sin that we can't seem to overcome on our own, Lord God. This morning, Father God, we ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit over this congregation. We ask that your Spirit would dwell in every single person here, Father God. And as we go home in this week, in this precious week where we meditate on what you've done for us, Lord, that Holy Spirit would just live with us, reside in us, overflow from us, Father God, that our cup would overflow everywhere we go, Lord. So this morning, Lord, this congregation is yours. We pray for you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would just inhabit this place this morning. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. Amen. And Lord, as we keep our eyes closed, Father God, I just know that there might be someone here who is on that threshold of just dedicating their lives to you fully and completely. If there's anyone here that wants to acknowledge that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus is the Savior, who wants to say, yes, I am a sinner. I cannot get rid of it on my own. I can't wash these bloody hands on my own, Lord. I need you to wash them for me. I need you to change me. I need you to transform me from a worm to the royal priesthood, Father God. I want you to graft me and adopt me into your family. If there is anyone who is feeling that, who knows that, who feels a stirring of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, take me. Take me as I am and clean me up and wash me up and make a way for me. Make a home for me, Lord. Father God, there are angels waiting to rejoice. We know this because your word says there are angels waiting to rejoice. There is the book of life that is open just waiting to have your name written in it. Oh, Lord, so we just pray. If that is you today, say this prayer with me. Lord, I acknowledge you are the King. I acknowledge you are my Savior. I repent of my sins, Father God, and I ask that you come and you dwell in me. The Bible says that if I cry out your name and I believe in your name, I will be saved and I will receive the Holy Spirit, Father God. And that is my prayer today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
This morning, let's respond to his greatness, his glory. I go ahead and stand it up. Let's sing one more time to him, for he is here, amen. If you would, I'm going to ask probably the impossible. Would you you all close your eyes and just extend your arms outward to the Lord. It can be up, it can be out, it can be shoulder, it can be right by your side. I just want us to take a stand, open, wanting Jesus to come into our lives, to enter our boat. Let's sing this. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you.